Okay, well, let's pick up at Romans 5. We'll start there, and I'll try to get a summary again. We talk about being under grace or being a grace believer or even preaching grace. Is a lot of people really don't see the difference. They don't understand what the distinction is. And Romans 5, Paul says this. In Romans 5, verse 1. We start off, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And what I want to talk about is when he says this grace, that's a distinction. That's different. So when you say there's always been grace, that's true. But there has not always been this grace. So when you make those distinctions, it helps to know when we say that we're under grace exactly what that means. Because otherwise, people will say, well, I don't see the difference. When you're saying you preach the grace message, and we went through some of these things that they received the grace message. These people had a grace message. So we're going to start there. Try to give you a summary of the last 2 weeks before we really get going. And hopefully we can get to the... We left off in 2 Samuel 7. And we'll try to get a summary then pick up there. So let's have a word of prayer. We'll get started. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the fellowship that we have. We thank you for this time we're spending around your word. We pray for first of all that the word may have a free course and it be received with a ready mind, and that we might be as the Bereans who search the scriptures daily to see whether these things be so. We thank you for each person here and the families we represent. Lord, we pray that as we continue to study about grace and the grace message and what it means to be saved by grace, what it means to be under grace, and what it means to be in this grace, we pray that these things might become clear to us, and Lord, it might strengthen us in the inner man, that we might do those things that you find worthy and well-pleasing in this day of grace. Again, we pray for the word as it go forward, that it might be received with a ready mind, and it might bring forth fruit to your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay. Now, a couple of weeks ago, where we talked about grace is... you see the definitions we put at the top of the page, and that was just like a launching pad to help us. When you say being saved, what does it mean to be saved by grace? A lot of people have a different idea about it. Or if you say we're under grace, a lot of people have a different idea about grace. So we started off with, and this is a good thing, you have to meet people where they are. You can't, yes, you can't go in with the knowledge you have and then try to pump that into them and get frustrated when they don't understand what you mean. So you start where they are. You say, what do you think grace means? So we had all these at the top of the page, and that's from this group. You see, and these are people that come and they hear this week after week and they're familiar with it. But you see, there's several things up here that people have a different idea what it means to be under grace. And that doesn't mean it's wrong. That's their perspective. And then as we go along, you're going to find out. Look at the top of the page. It says God's riches at Christ's expense. And then you have to ask yourself, well, what does that mean? What is God's riches? The people that God showed grace to didn't all have the same riches. Noah didn't have forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, like we do. Right? So, in his response, if you look at this, he says, unmerited favor, Jesus. Now, you know, Noah was if you'd have said, do you know who Jesus is to Noah? He was like, I have no idea. God's provision, God's whole plan, a gift, righteousness, forgiveness, God's character, salvation. And I put some things down there that I recognize where it's information that's based on faith, obedience, a blessing, and a relationship. All those things go together. And so when you say grace, they may sound like a lot to you. But when you start reading through a scripture, and if you're reading with the big picture in mind, all these things, you'll see that every one of those things is a part of grace. So when they say men have always received grace, that's true. But you still have to explain to them that there's never been this grace. When Paul says we have access into this grace, then it's different from that grace. And we looked at it. We started off with Noah. He found a particular type of grace. And it was based on information that God gave him that he had to exercise faith in. And he received a blessing only after that. And he established that relationship that he had with God. You know, in that verse says that God was, it repented God that he had made man. But it said, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then you go on and it says, and Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. Well, that's the relationship. So what set him up was the fact that, number one, that he had faith in what God said. He had a relationship with God. There's some things that Noah knew and he acted on. And Noah became God's vehicle or his medium to the rest of the people. And Noah became a preacher of what?
Righteousness.
Of righteousness. So he says, listen, guys, I have some grace for you. And he preached to those people. He received it and did what?
Gave it out.
How many responded?
None. But his own family.
8 people, right? Whose fault is that?
The people. It's not Noah's fault.
Did they have access into that grace?
Yes.
Okay. Then we found out Abraham. Same thing. God picked Abraham. Showed him. He gave him a message. Abraham responded what? In faith. They had a relationship. So much so, a guy called Abraham his what?
Friend.
His friend. Matter of fact, when he was going to destroy Sodom, he said, shall I hide this thing from my friend?
That's close.
So he gives Abraham this access. And he says, this is the message I want. Since you believe me, I'm going to give you circumcision. And anybody you go out to, if they want a relationship with me, if they want access into that grace, they have to do what? Be circumcised. Is that the same today?
No.
It's different, isn't it? So he picks Moses and he shows him grace. And he gives Moses a message. And we went back and Moses had this grace when he was what? Do you guys remember that? Moses had access to this grace when he was what? How much of a child? A baby. Matter of fact, when he was born,
he was a proper child.
His parents, God told his parents that this child is going to receive what? A special kind of grace. To be a deliverer. And they hid him. And he grew. Keep that in mind. And he grew. And he grew in the wisdom of the what?
Egyptians.
Right? Right or wrong?
Yes.
I mean, right or wrong wisdom. I mean,
wrong wisdom.
Why? Why is it wrong wisdom?
Worldly.
It's worldly wisdom, right? But he grew in it for 40 years. So then he leaves and he spends another 40 years where?
In the backside of the desert.
Okay. And God calls him back. And then he becomes the what? He becomes the deliverer. Is that grace? And Moses became the mediator of the what? Of the law. Is that the same grace that we have today?
No way.
No. Thank you, Lord, right? Then he uses David in the middle of a time when the whole nation is in apostasy. God picks David. He says, I'm going to show you something special. What was David doing before God showed him that grace?
Shepherd.
Was he thinking about God's program at all? He was. He did believe.
He was thinking, yeah, because he talks about the sons of Philistine.
And God pulled him out of all his brothers and showed him. Matter of fact, the last time we looked at it, God called David. He told Saul that he was taking the kingdom from him and giving it to what? Anybody remember that? His neighbor. You said, so what? And I'm just going to throw this up there because it's when he said he's giving it to his neighbor. That's the same. Use that word, fellow. You know, we think of what? Fellowship. So you know what? You know what we think of that? It's a relationship, isn't it? Even more interesting it is the word neighbor in the Hebrew, which is just for is ra'ah. You say, so what? Right? Same word you use for shepherd. So he said, I'm taking the kingdom from you, Saul. Was Saul a good shepherd?
Yes.
No? Why not, Bob?
Well, he went against God's word.
He went against God's word. And not only that, when they picked the king, God told them, this is the kind of guy you're going to get. This is the kind of king he's going to be. What kind of king was he? He said, he's going to take your people, he's going to take your children, and they're all going to serve him. He's not going to lead them. He's not going to care for them. They're going to care for him, and he's going to drive them. That's why I said, what kind of shepherd was he? So the Lord, he says, he's disobedient. He says, I'm going to take it from him, and I'm giving it to another man, right, after my own heart. And he gives him all that information. The relationship is developed. He walks in faith. He can't be a man after God's own heart if God doesn't what? Reveal his heart to him. This is what I want. And David acts in that. And he says, at the end of David's life, he says, this is a man. He's done everything I want except one thing. And he did a lot of things. But God says he only faltered in one area. And that's why I emphasized that last week, or week before that, is because the one thing that God said that he faltered in is the thing that he wrote in Romans. That God said, describe David, Romans, look at 4. 4:6, Romans 4:6. He says, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man to whom God imputeth what? Righteousness without what? Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will what?
Not
impute sin. Now, we're getting close. David got grace, didn't he? But even that grace wasn't exactly what? This grace. Because, and I picked these things strategically so you can see. What do you notice about all of those men so far? Noah. Or we started with Adam, which is not on the sheet, but Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, and we're coming up on Jesus. What do you notice about those men?
A lot.
Well, let me help you, because I they all sinned. Yeah.
They all believe God's word.
They all believe God's word to them. Right? Even more so is this. With all those men, God instituted different house rules with Adam, Noah, Moses,
David. How they earned their grace was different.
How they got it was different. Yeah. And how they dispensed it was different. So we call them dispensations. But it's God, he's dealing with people differently under those men. So the grace is not the same, but they did have access to it, the people that they talked to. See, you couldn't be in Moses' day and then go back and try to get something Noah had. The same, you can't be the same way. Or you can't be in Abraham's day and try to get something, and we coming up here, was what Paul gave. But it's all based on, we say, information is the main thing. Is they gotta have information first, right? They gotta have information, right?
In order to believe.
In order to have faith. Faith comes by
hearing
by the word. Now, and this is the whole basis of the thing. We ask, why did God give them information in the first place?
In order for them to believe or to serve.
But why?
They didn't know.
Why does God even have to say, I'm gonna tell you something?
For them to hear?
Yeah. Why does God owe it to them?
No.
Why is he giving it to them?
Because for them to know how to serve him.
Okay.
For them to execute.
Who said that? For them to what?
For them to execute.
You said
because of
to give them an option of free will.
Right, they have free will. That's, this is getting back to the heart
to
of
exercise it.
To exercise it. Anybody else?
Showing us his standard.
Okay, that's
to equip them to serve.
Equip them to serve? Yes. Let me go back a little bit. Is all that's true? To equip them to serve, right? Why does he want them to serve? Why does he want in any of these graces? Why does he want them to serve?
To be part of his
fellowship. Who said that?
Eddie.
Part of what?
His plan.
Part of his plan, yes. What is his plan?
Redemption of the heavens and the earth.
And all men.
His plan is that shall we love God.
And his whole plan is to repossess what?
Heaven and earth.
Heaven and earth. And we, it's 2 weeks is a long time, but he says he works these things out according to the counsel of his own will. It is because of his what? His good pleasure. These men had nothing to do with it. How they got the information, God says, that's why he can do this. He can determine back here, before the foundation of the world, that down here, there's going to be a guy named Paul that he's going to give some what?
Information to.
Why is he going to do it?
To work out his plan.
To work out his plan according to his what?
His good
pleasure. What makes him different from anybody else? He just got what?
Grace.
That's why Paul said, look, you got access into what?
This
grace. He said, now, he's going along here. None of these guys got that grace.
Wow.
And he comes down and he said, he just drops it on Paul. He said, now you. You tell him about this grace.
Amen.
And he said, me? Yes.
I deserve the promise.
Now, 1 Samuel. 2 Samuel, I'm sorry. Well, 1 Samuel. I don't know if we covered 15. 1 Samuel 15. Now, this started off as one lesson. I thought I'd be able to do this in one lesson.
Could you?
And now... Yeah, now this is turning out to be right. And I thought today, I said, we'll have two more. But...
I think we did do Samuel.
You know what? It's, I'm like Paul. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. Because... I want you to understand when you go out and you start talking to people about grace is what it really means. Because just because you say we live in a dispensation of grace, that doesn't mean that even we have a grasp on what it really is. So, you know, you can in your home, you could wake up in the dark and make it to any area of your house, couldn't you? Why? You know it. You're familiar with it. My goal is this. If I say grace, you should be able to meet somebody wherever they are, and whatever he starts with, whatever he begins with, you should be able to take him and lead him out of the dark into this grace. Because when you walk in, you already, chances are, that he's not standing in this grace. And yet he knows there's some grace available. But you want to get him to this grace.
He knows his grace has been allowed to him because he woke up. His car started. He didn't get in the accident to get to that other point. He knows about that grace.
Right. And that's everybody.
The grace of salvation, but not where it says to be saved and come knowledge of the truth.
Listen, Acts 17 says this. In him we live and move and have our very being. Is that just believers? That's everybody. That's grace. But it's not this grace. It's this. He's saying, look, I'm doing something special today that's available for every one of you. If you believe, that's where the gospel comes in. If you believe, I want to do something with you that I've never done before. Would you be interested?
Right.
Okay.
The grace of God prior to Jesus is different than the grace of God after Jesus. Is that true?
That's true.
Okay.
That's true.
I'll make sure I'm on that.
Now we're gonna, you know what? Just because you said that, we're gonna try to get to that.
Okay.
We're gonna try to get to that. All right. I said 1 Samuel 15. He says in 15... 28. We did see that. I did quote that. Where he talks about Saul, and he says that he was, when he rebelled, as Bob said, that he was disobedient. He rebelled against God. God told him, when you go into this city, to destroy everything. Destroy them all. And he went in, and he kept he kept what was good to him. It was good to him.
Wasn't God's plan.
It wasn't what?
God's plan.
He already deviated from what?
The information.
The information. If you deviate from the information, you're not acting in faith. And all of a sudden, you fell out of what? The plan. Now, this is about you, not about me. Well, God says, this is about what you want, not what I want. So he says, for that reason, verse 24, he says, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. Help me get the image back. I just threw that in for the people that know. We'll get to it. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle and rent it. And it rent. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is what?
Better than thou.
Better than thou. You know, now, what's making his neighbor who doesn't even know yet that God has picked him? What's making his neighbor better than Saul? And Sharon said this.
Just not believing in God?
God, David was a man after God's own
heart. How does God know that?
He knows all.
Because he already knows what? He already knows what's in man.
Right, right.
So when they picked Saul, he hadn't reigned one day. And they said, tell him what kind of guy he is.
God already knows.
He already knew. And they said, that's okay. We still what? And he said, they have not rejected you.
They've rejected me.
That I should call the shots.
Mm-hmm.
So here's David, who knows he's probably in the field playing his harp with his sheep. And God looks out and he already sees the diadem, the crown on his head. He said, that's my guy right there. A man after what? My own heart.
Yes.
And David doesn't even know.
Right.
Did you know you'd be here 30 years ago?
Nope.
You sure?
I didn't even know.
Look, we go a long way back. I know when he said not a clue. You're not joking. Listen, we talk about God's grace is to take somebody, to take us, and then give us a relationship and some information that you may not believe it, but you can't get 50 people that know what you know.
Right.
Well, I'm saying I can't say that into other denominations, I guess, if you want to say that. You can't get 50 people that know what you know. But make sure you know it. Because you can see there's a little difference, but I want you to know it like you can wake up in your house at night and walk through where you can meet that guy and says, you know what? Let me show you what's different. And you have to be so clear about it where you don't want them to feel like you're taking something from them. That's valuable. You want to give them something of greater value. That's what they have to see, is this is not, I'm not robbing you. If I take four quarters and give you a piece of paper, you might feel, well, you just gave me some paper. But if it said 100 on it, you know, you don't.
You've exchanged for
a greater value, right? And Paul would say this. He says it's the exceeding riches of what? Of his grace.
Yes.
Exceeding. Now, they might have grace, right? In other areas, they may have had rich grace, right? But Paul says that this is what? Exceeding rich.
2 Corinthians 9:3
About the grace. Yeah, you know, the grace of our Lord. That he was what?
No.
Though he was.
2 Corinthians 9
Let's go there.
Yeah, look at that.
Hold your hand in 2 Samuel. We're going to go to 2 Samuel. I didn't forget. 2 Samuel. We got 1 Samuel. 2 Samuel 7. Yeah, get that one, and then we're going to go. I'm going to let the guest preacher do that. Because I'm being gracious. 2 Samuel? Or 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry.
2 Corinthians, man. 6 through 9, you know that one, right?
You
know that one.
Oh, yeah, I do. He said, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work.
That's a lot of grace.
That is a lot of grace. He says, right, that you may abound.
Right. Well, Philippians says, my grace is sufficient for you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Right. Now, see what I like about this is, and when we get over there, hopefully it won't be just something you quote. So when you start to see what God has really given us, the relationship that we really have a chance to forge with him, the information that he's given us, then you can see that, you know what, there's never been a grace like this. Never.
Where grace abounds,
where sin abounds, he said grace did what? See, watch those modifiers. See, much more. And well, how much more?
Much more.
That more?
Much more.
That much more? See, you have to see first what sin did before you can see what grace did. Now, okay, 2 Samuel. When I said this, David describes the grace he received. 2 Samuel. Let's pick up at verse 21, but I'm going to pick up at verse 11. He says, okay, 10. Okay, 8. I'm sorry, 8. Now therefore, so shall thy say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the what? Sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. Are they working together? Is God and David working together?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's Why? Why are they working together?
God's plan.
Because God did what?
He chose
them, didn't he? And David responded. Okay, I'm just... it's obvious. It's just the obvious. I just want you to go with the obvious. He says, and I was with thee, what? Whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, over all that.
Addition to.
Is that grace?
Yes.
He says, I gave you grace. He said, and here goes some more. He says, moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee a house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and will establish the throne of his kingdom. I will establish the throne of his kingdom
forever.
I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, from whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all his vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Then went King David in and did what?
Sat before the Lord.
I love this part. He went in and did what? Sat before the Lord, and he said,
Who am I,
O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? He knew. He said, what? How did I get here?
Why me?
Why me? Matter of fact, he said that. He says, look, and this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. He said, okay, I got it. But now you're talking about everybody after me. He says, and is this the manner of man, O Lord God? He said, you know what? This ain't normal. This is not normal. And they were a nation before God gave him this. They were in idolatry. Do you see what I say? It's different. See, we're not back there. So this means very little to us. You read right over it. Like, yep, okay. See, you're talking about a whole people, a nation that he brought out of Egypt, showed his grace to, come through, and they all left him. And then he reaches over and he grabs a guy, and then he shows him tremendous grace. And he kills all his enemies and gives him rest all around. And then he says, now, I'm going to give you the kingdom and your seed, the kingdom, for 10 years.
Forever.
20 years.
Forever.
50.
Forever.
He said, forever.
Everlasting covenant.
Is that grace?
Yes. That's abundant.
I'm going to say, is that rich grace?
Yeah.
That's,
you know what?
Grace than anyone.
But listen, but that's not what you have.
We've got even more.
Because, look, this, all this previous graces, you know what it was? It was limited.
Right.
Now, where were you when God was giving him this grace? Now, where were the Gentiles when God was giving him this grace?
He gave him up.
Where were they?
Scattered.
Doing what?
Living in sin.
Living in sin, right. Waiting for one of his posterior to come out to him.
It was in the plan.
Right.
What's that? Who said that? It was in the plan?
I did.
Oh,
plan.
Yeah, okay.
It was in the plan.
Now, when you know here, when he says, verse 20, and what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake, according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these what?
Great
things to make thy servant what? Know them. Same thing we just talked about. According to what? Now, you know that God's purpose with Adam, Noah, Moses, Abraham, David was to do what? Repossess what?
The earth.
Repossess the earth.
They didn't know anything about the heavens.
They don't. Look, that's still waiting. That's still waiting. None of those guys knew about that. None of them. Okay. I'm going to introduce this one. Luke chapter 2. Now, when he gives that to David, and he says, to thy seed, and he says, and thy son, we think Solomon. And he did give Solomon grace. But the ultimate seed he's talking about is Christ. So you look at the next one, and he says this. I put on there, Jesus, in Luke, the verse is Luke 2:39. Jesus received grace. I say to you, look right up, didn't you? You're like, wait a minute. Say, wait, Jesus received grace? See that? Now, automatically, Betty, she said, nope. You say, wait a minute. That raises eyebrows. Why? Why does that raise an eyebrow to you if it says Jesus? Because he had no sin. Now, when we talked about grace,
he was God.
He was God.
He is God.
Oh, don't go so fast. Don't go so fast. When God, part of that, he had no sin, that's part of the barrier for the relationship, right? So God has always, he has to always find a way to keep that, he always provides a way for the relationship to be fruitful between him and man, between him and the person or persons receiving grace. He has to always have a way to keep that relationship intact. Because you know it's not on their part. Because the minute, like David, he described the way God kept the relationship intact. He said, God did not impute this to me. Right? When Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, obviously, he maintained the relationship. He walked with God. Abraham, he believed God. Moses, he believed God. He said, there's no There's no other one of you Hebrews that I'm talking to like I'm talking to him. He said Moses spoke with God, what? As a man speaks with his friend. He said, none of you other guys had that grace. So don't even come up here. If you do, what happens? So God does that. Now, you're not going to find out about Jesus unless you get the tape, because you'll be gone. But and he had no sin, right? So how in the world could he receive grace?
His relationship with God.
He always had a relationship, didn't he?
Right.
That was not a barrier
right.
to him.
Right.
What about his information? Was that a barrier?
No.
No? How about his faith? Was that a barrier?
No.
You sure?
Because he came into his father's will.
Okay.
He still said that, you know, you can take this cup away from me, but no, it's your will, my will.
Okay.
He still had faith, even though that he had that part made in him.
Okay. So that wasn't a barrier. That wasn't a barrier. That wasn't a barrier. How about his empowerment to serve? Was that a barrier? No?
Because he still did his father's will.
Okay.
But he humbled himself.
So how is it that he received grace? How is it?
Well, he had...
Blake said he was grace.
In a way.
In a way? In what way?
Why was he not?
Why was he not?
Right.
Why was he not?
Grace.
Grace. Okay.
Don't you do it.
No. I'm gonna try to
you don't say till
two verses. We're gonna introduce two verses. Philippians 2 and John chapter 1.
Grace is what you came by Jesus Christ.
Now think about this. While we're looking into this, we know God works things after his own what? Plan, right? So everything, now this is lessons ago. We always talked about composite or mosaic. You know what a composite is?
A whole bunch,
a collection of things. Like a mosaic is a collection of things. So what you see with Adam, Moses, Abraham, David, Noah, Samuel, all those men that's prior to Jesus, is you see like a composite or a mosaic of
Christ.
Of right. Of not a son, but what?
The son.
So if I say the son, how would that relate to God's plan? If I say, when I go to my grandmother's, we go there and we watch Sanford and Son. So if I see this and son, I can make some inferences or deductions from and son. I can assume what?
They're working the same.
They're working together. What else?
Same job, his father's business.
He's helping in the what? He's helping in the business.
Same objective.
Co-laborers.
One's an heir.
Huh?
The son.
Oh, heir. Okay.
Same mindset.
Same mind.
Yeah.
See, this is what I'm saying, where you wake up at night and go through your house. This is stuff you should be automatically checking off. That's good. That's good. So now, how does that relate to this? Where is he lacking?
He who?
Where is the son lacking in the grace? Okay. Philippians, you got Philippians 2? That's why I put a question mark where it said Jesus received grace? You're like, wait a minute now. I knew that would get you. Philippians chapter 2.
Philippians 2.
He says, let this mind, 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of what?
No reputation.
And took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he what? Humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, and we just read that, God hath highly exalted him, and give him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, key word in there is, if he existed as God, then he already knows what? He already knows. How much of it?
All of it.
All of it. So in Hebrews he said this: sacrifice and offerings I know you didn't want. I'm paraphrasing that. A body thou hast prepared. He says, I come in the volume of the book to do what?
To do thy will, God.
Whose will is it?
It's God's will.
Whose will is it?
God's
will. Whose will is it?
The Godhead.
Whose will is it?
His Father.
Whose will is it? His will. So he's really saying, I'm coming to do what? My own thing. Just to take you all the way back.
The first step.
If I'm responsible, I think Linda said this. Where sin abounded,
grace did much more.
Grace did much more abound. If one man entered, then one man shall many be. So you're either what? In Adam,
or
you're in Christ. Right?
Yeah.
So John 1, I'm just setting the stage where there's something different even about what the Lord received. Now this is that's why he's the pivot point. That's why when everything goes up, where it said this, in the fullness of time,
God sent forth
his son, made of a woman, made under the law to do what?
Redeem them that were under the law.
That's why Paul can say this, that God has set him forth to be a what?
Propitiation.
Through faith in his blood to declare.
At this time. Right.
I got a grace that I'm declaring to you that they didn't have. That this time that he might be just
and the justifier of them that believe.
Okay. John 1?
Yes. Like Paul always say, but now.
But now. See, you can't say, that's where people stuck in the back then. You got to get them to the but now.
Present.
That you got to get them to the. You got to get them to the. Say, okay, that was back then.
But now.
But can I get you to the but now? John 1 says, in the beginning was what?
The Word.
And the Word was?
God.
And the Word
was God.
Same thing you just read. And the Word what?
Became
what?
Flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld.
And we beheld what?
His glory.
Now, did he come down shining?
No.
What does it mean we beheld his glory?
His righteousness.
And we beheld his glory as what?
Grace.
We beheld his glory as a, what?
As of the only begotten
of the Father.
Full of grace.
Full of what? Full of what?
Grace.
Full of grace.
And truth.
And truth. Keep going. Full of grace and truth. Keep going.
John bear witness.
To the light. I'm not that light. Go back to 14. What's 14?
Oh, okay. And dwelt among us.
Oh, we beheld his glory.
And we beheld his glory.
All right, let me.
Glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Full of grace and truth.
You're looking at 16 where it says, and of his fullness have all we.
Yeah, I was. I thought there's. I thought she was going to keep going, but I got you. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. For the law was given by Moses, right?
Skip 16.
Oh, and his and of his fullness, I'm sorry, have we all received, have and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Of all of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law came by Moses, but grace and truth, right? I'm just going to put a heart there. Now, I skipped over an earlier verse because I'm going to go back to it. It says, of his fullness. Now, what is, you see all those, what we talked about? When I asked you, what was he missing? As God, he knew all this, didn't he? When he comes down, guess what he knows?
What it is to be a man.
He's experiencing
that. He knows he's going to die.
But when he comes down from heaven as God and puts on a body, guess what he knows?
The plan.
How much of it?
All of it.
How do you know he knows all of it?
Because he's part of it.
Because he's coming to do what? He's coming to fulfill it. Fullness. Of his fullness. Now, watch this. It's going. He said this. 3:1-3. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, John, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But But there it is. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become what?
Sons of God.
Now, we're going to stop there. But he comes down. All this glory, where is it? I said, did he come down shining? He didn't. That's what I said before, is when we think of glory, all we think of is light.
Right.
But that's just a manifestation of this, of wisdom, knowledge.
Great. Light's information.
Yeah. Say it again.
Light
is information.
Yeah.
I never thought of that. Like, we know it is. I thought of it, but when he said it, it's good to hear it. So.
When you think of the whole DNA.
So where is that light?
Light.
Yeah.
Inside.
It's inside. It's covered.
Right.
Like the tabernacle in the wilderness, it was covered by badger skin. If you look out there, you wouldn't know what's on the inside. But in the inside, what's going on? The service and worship of God. God is in there, right? He's in there. Like I look at you, you look at me. Yeah, ain't nothing happening in there. Ain't nothing happening inside of there. Guess what's in there? Guess what's in here?
Christ.
Right. Christ. Light and life.
Right.
That's why he can go up to the mount and do what?
Mm-hmm. Show the glory.
And just unbutton his shirt. Boom, 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 boom.
Right.
And they said, we saw it.
Right. We beheld his glory.
But it's all related to what?
The plan.
The plan. The plan. So he comes down. He said, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how can the bringer of grace also be the recipient of grace? And I ask the question, how many people died under Jesus' ministry? How many people died under, how many, let me rephrase it. How many people did Jesus execute? I'll use that word. How many people did he kill for sin?
None.
No.
Why not?
He came to help.
He was full of grace and truth.
He was full of what?
Grace and truth.
He was
the Prince of Peace.
His goal, huh? Who said that?
He came to save, seek, and to save those that were lost.
Right. He said to them, he gave them power to be what?
Sons of God.
We just said, Sanford the son. If he's going to be a son, what is God? What is Jesus coming for them to do?
To be restored to heirs.
To worship and serve with him.
Restored
to be what?
Heirs.
To be heirs.
Restored to the image.
Restored to the image, right. What was lost, which is all these, the same thing. There you go. Fellowship, help with the plan, all that. Fellowship, help with the plan. That's what he said. As to many that did what?
Believe.
The many that get right back up into that grace. He said to them, we can work together. That's why he said, he that is not with me is what?
Against
me. Or he that receiveth whom I send,
receive
me. And if you receive me,
you
receive the Father. We all working together.
Right.
Just like the plan. But you still hadn't answered. How was he a recipient of grace?
Right. We should have to wait the next week.
I'll introduce it then. Luke chapter 2. And we'll have to finish up.
Somebody go to the website.
Say it again, ma'am. He filled him what? With his spirit. That's just not, see, that's, yeah, see, you forget this part, which is the greatest part of it, is this. You have the Lord coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to do this because that looks good. Two men. He's God, man, right? The God man knows what?
All. Everything.
He knows all. How much power?
All.
All. Knowledge.
All.
All.
Knowledge.
All.
He got it all.
He got it all.
He's got what?
All.
Fullness.
Yes.
In him dwelleth all the fullness
of the
Godhead
bodily.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The man part. How much knowledge does he have?
Limited.
Huh? Limited. Uh-oh. Wait a minute now. How much power?
No.
Uh-oh. What else? How much? What's fellowship? Questionable, right? It's all based on what?
Faith.
He got to fall in line like all the rest of them did.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, wait a minute. He can't have them both. He can't have them both. Wait a minute.
But he does.
That's why
That's why he humbled himself.
He said, now, I don't have to.
Right.
But I'm going to receive it just like the rest of them.
Just like us. Right. I'm humbling myself.
Whoa. Wait a minute.
Just like the other ones in time past.
Just like the other ones.
Kind of the same reason he got baptized in a way.
Just saying, look, he said, here he comes. Here he comes, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And he says, baptize me.
Yeah.
What?
That's what their tradition was.
He said, yeah. He says, suffer it.
To be so.
To be so. Now, what he knows is this. I have to receive it.
Amen.
That's why he said, look, grace for grace. He says, from the source to the recipient. I can't give you what I don't have. So he comes and for example, he'll do things like this. You say to the man, rise up, take up that bed and walk. And it's on the Sabbath day. Uh-oh.
Trick.
Or he say, thy sins be forgiven thee. Uh-oh. Nobody can do that, but what? He said, what's easier? What's easier?
Get up and walk.
For me to say that? Or for me to say your sins forgiven? But for you to know that I got it.
Yes.
How much?
Uh-huh.
So he's receiving it because one day he knows when you get in to this grace,
yes.
He says, everything that I am,
imputation,
I'm going to impute it to you.
All right. Amen.
That's what?
Awesome.
That's what? That's awesome.
Amen.
Yes, it is. Because so when I say, what's missing? What's missing with me?
Just faith. Just got to believe.
When I believe, and you say, well, what do I have to do?
Not believe. You don't have to do anything but believe.
Because everything that he is, mm-hmm. when he goes through and says, it's fulfilled,
yes.
It's fulfilled,
yes.
That it might be fulfilled,
amen.
That this might be fulfilled.
Yes.
Then he, I said Luke 2,
mm-hmm.
You know what? We don't have to stop.
Not really.
What he says,
what's the verse?
239. I know. I said 139, but that was a typo.
Okay.
It's, thank you, Jenny.
I did.
So, but I'll say this just because, just as lead in, when he comes, even as a baby, He begins on this side. He says, look.
Because he didn't have any problem as a baby.
Look. She said he didn't.
Well, he had it, but he had to grow into the power.
Okay, I like that.
He had to be old enough to have this.
See, watch this. He comes in when Elizabeth comes in when Mary's pregnant.
Right.
You know what happens? Elizabeth walks in. She's 6 months pregnant with John. They walk into where Mary is, and John says,
"Woohoo!"
Yeah. And that's because of Mary's voice, just her speaking, had that effect on the baby.
But she said, "The power is where." When he said that thing that's in you,
it's the Holy Ghost.
Because she was already
on this side. Now, put back on this side.
Yeah.
That thing that's in you is from this side.
Yeah.
So he grows, and it said that verse 239, and when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord. You know what? You think about this. God even has his parents keeping the law so they won't violate him.
Right.
Circumcised the eighth day. Take him up every Passover. And then when he's finally out, they says, when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in what?
Spirit.
Little s. Filled with
wisdom.
And the what?
Grace.
That's it. And the what?
Grace.
Was what?
Upon him.
Wait a minute. You mean he received grace? Listen. How does a child, well, you grow in spirit and wisdom.
Information.
They wasn't talking about ABCs either.
No.
Or
come on now.
Well, by 12, he was saying about my father's business. He is coming.
Oh, see? They go up to Jerusalem. You know who Joseph is, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's his job?
Carpenter.
They go up to Jerusalem. 3 days later, they realize what a baby. They have to go back and get him. And they go back and get him. And he was at the furniture store. Oh, right. He's at the what?
Temple.
And they're all around him. Can you imagine walking into the synagogue and you got a crowd, a circle, and that we're looking for my son. And they go through it and get through the middle, and he's in the middle. In the midst of the doctors. And he said, what do you think about that scripture? And they says, we don't know. He said, let me tell you. And they said they were astonished at his what?
Doctor.
And his answers. And his answers, look, he knew more than Joseph and Mary combined. Where did he get that from? He received that grace where, you know what? He's growing in spirit. Now, last verse.
Coming into his own.
52. And they understood, 47. And all that heard, and it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his lack of understanding. At his what? Just make sure you're with me. At his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, why are you looking for me? How is it that you sought me? Wist or knew ye not, know ye not that I must be about my what? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God.
Amen.
You know what that favor is? Same word. He increased in grace with God and man. So you know the relationship was what?
Good.
Developing. Growing. You know his knowledge was what? But wait a minute. I thought he knew everything. How you going
to
have it and then receive it?
Because he had...
Is it good, like, humbling himself? I guess I've never understood. Like, I mean, obviously to become human, you humble yourself. But I guess that also means you don't get... You're not born, I guess, like, with grace. I mean, you know what I mean? Or knowledge. So he's almost started out empty and had to fill up as he...
Look, how are you going to be God... And then come down and be what?
Man.
Obedient.
Made flesh, though. You gotta remember that.
You're gonna be go come down. You're gonna be God, then come down and be obedient to God. So, all that's why I said with the question mark there. Now, this is a question a lot of people have problems with. You don't have to figure it out. Just believe it.
Amen.
Is what he's doing. He's doing. For us, for them, for all, because they cannot be sons without him fulfilling what he has fulfilled. So that's why they got grace, but then you get, when he comes, that's a pivot point.
We have to be repossessed before he can use us to repossess.
That's why all these things work together. He's repossessing the heaven and earth, but he's using sons to do it. You have to be enabled.
Amen.
You have to be the same way the rest of them are.
That's
right. So, but you're getting a special kind of grace.
Amen.
So, we're going
to
stop.
I guess to really understand, are we basically saying that at that time, their grace was based upon what was required at that time?
Right.
What God's requirement was, and their active faith was a response.
That's based on the information, and the information changed. Some, it required some action on their part. And on our part, the only action that's required is faith. And so we're going to stop there. We're going to pick it up next week. We'll do Luke again just to refresh. And so we're going to stop there. We'll pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We just pray as we continue to read and study that you might continue to enlighten us to your purpose and plan. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. That was good, right?
Now,